So we are in the middle of a series talking about I call this the triple threat to the church. It's our three great enemies. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And last week, Trey dealt with the first enemy of the world and how it wants to squeeze you into its mold and make you think and do like everybody else is doing, right? That is the world. It is just that great system that just says, hey, fit in. Don't do anything outside of the normal. Fit in and eat whatever is offered to you. And boy, there's some garbage being offered by the world. So this morning, I'm going to deal with enemy number two is the flesh. And the flesh are those sinful desires that seem to come out of nowhere and take you to bad places to do bad things. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He's like, where does that come from? We're going to learn that this morning. And we're not just going to learn where it comes from. Hopefully, when you leave today, you'll know how to fight the flesh. Maybe you're sitting here and you've never thought, how do I do battle with this, whatever the part of the sinful desires that just rage inside of you? If you think, well, I just got to give in every time. This morning, you're going to get a strategy of how to deal with those things. First, and this scripture will not appear on the screen, it's James 4:1. It says, what is the source of war? Wars and fights among you, don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? There's a battle going inside of you every single day with your flesh. Did you know that? It's like it doesn't let up. In Romans 7, and by the way, I am not going to be able to drill down on a lot of stuff today, but I'm going to give you some scriptures. So you might want to just jot down the scriptures that we look at. I'm going to tell you right now, if you just make a note of, you need to read Romans 6 through Romans 8, this is a great spot to hang out in the Scripture to deal with the battle against the flesh. But I just want to read a portion of Romans chapter 7 where you can kind of see detailed out how this battle looks. So Romans 7, verses 15 through 20, listen to this. For I do not understand what I am doing. Can I just stop right there? Y'all not get that? I don't even know why I'm doing this. When you're doing bad stuff, right? Why am I doing this? Because I do not practice what I want to do. But I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is the sin that lives in me. You might be sitting there thinking, wait a minute, when I gave my life to Jesus, didn't he forgive my sin and make me a new person? Yes, he did. But guess what? You still have to battle your sinful desires. You still have to, you're in the fight. Trey reminded us last week that from Ephesians 2:1 that we're dead apart from Christ. We're dead in our sin, and we're just doing what everybody else is doing. We are called the sons of disobedience, and we're listening to our great enemy, the devil, and we're just going along and doing everything. He's like, he puts it out there. We just do it. You can't help it apart from Christ. If you don't belong to Jesus, you are a slave to sin, according to Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. You were a slave to sin. You have to sin. You can't not sin. It's just going to happen. It's in your nature. But that's not our situation in Jesus. If you belong to Christ, that's not who you are. And you got to learn how to fight this battle for the rest of your life. Man, when I was in seminary years and years ago, I'm sitting in a class with Dr. Jack McGorman. And he's teaching us and he's reading out of his Greek New Testament. He's reading Greek, but he's reading it in English. And I'm thinking, I don't even know how he's doing that because I can't even hardly speak any Greek or read it. And he's reading to us. And this man loved Jesus. Golly, his testimony was just amazing. He just died like about 4 years ago and he was 100 years old. But this old man, he's standing up there and he's reading to us out of the Greek New Testament. And he's probably about 80 or 75 or 80 at the time. And one of my classmates just raised his hand. He's like, "Hey, Doc, I got a question." Has nothing to do with what he's reading. He said, "You still struggle with lust?" And I will never forget this. That old man standing up there reading, and he's got his glasses on. And he takes his glasses off, and he lays his Bible down. And he said, "Boys, I'm 80 years old, but I got to still keep my dukes up." And we all went, "Oh, what? 80? Yeah, 80. I was like, "What in the world?" Y'all, whatever you battle, it doesn't go away. You have to learn how to fight it. Every believer in Jesus, the person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, if they belong to Christ, they are in a battle with their flesh at some point. Whether it's lust or greed or pride or fill in the blank. That thing hounds you. See, because when you come to Christ, you've been sinning already, right? You've been sinning. And those things that you've set up in your life that are sinful, they still are going to hound you. So you got to learn how to deal with them. Like when they come back to you, like you give your life to Christ today, you walk out the door, the bad stuff's still on your phone. Now you got to fight. Now you're alive to fight. Before you were just dead, like an old dead fish just floating downstream. You didn't have any, there was no willpower, no anything that could stop. You were going to sin. It's just nature. You are going to do it. Not so in Christ. The flesh is relentless. It will not let up on you. You can't get to a point in your life and go, "Oh man, I got that whooped." No. You are setting yourself up for failure to say, "Oh, I can handle this now." Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You cannot get to that point where you say, "Oh, you know what? I have kicked that check mark. Let's move on." Nope. You have to be aware of the relentlessness of your flesh, that it wants to make a fool out of you. It wants to destroy your life and your family. It wants to destroy everything about you. That's what sin does. It kills everything it touches. It'll hound you night and day. So what do you do? Oh man, I love Romans 8. Golly, get Romans 8. And just sit with Romans chapter 8. It's such a great chapter. Look, we're going to look at a little piece of it here, and then we're going to look at another piece of it. Look at Romans 8, 5 through 9. "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." There's a word that comes about five times in that passage. Did you see it? Did you hear it? The word mindset. Your mindset is how you see the world. It's how you see your life. It's how you see the people around you. It's how you see what's going on in your life. And if your mindset is set on the flesh, on just doing what your whatever your desires want you to do, your mindset is death. Is it still up there? Yeah. Back it up a little bit. The mindset on the flesh is death. In fact, it's not just death. It's hostile to God. And Paul says you can't please God with the mindset of the flesh. If I am just thinking about how can I fulfill, how can I meet my own desires? Y'all, it kills relationships. Because it says, I care about more about me getting mine than I care about you. I don't even care about you any. I can act like I do. But if my goal is to get mine, I don't care about you. The mindset of the flesh is hostile. Hostile. You do not want to be hostile with God. You are not going to win. The word says that he gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. You do not want God opposing you. You will not win. He's the king. He is the there is not a random molecule in this universe that he does not have control of. And so the mindset of the flesh is hostility to God. It is death. It kills everything. But the mindset of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Man, that's what we want right there. What your mind is set on affects your life. What you dwell on, listen, what you think about affects your life. Every single day it does. You can't be like, well, I'm going to doom scroll here and I'm just going to eat whatever is there. I'm going to sit and watch whatever. I'm going to just, what? And your mind is just rolling in these things. That's a mindset. It is setting up how you view life. If you listen to stuff, if your entertainment is all about death and destruction and whatever, that's what you're going to think about. That's death and hostility. But the mindset of the Spirit, life and peace. Verse 9 in this passage is the key to the battle. You, however, this is Romans 8, 9, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Here's the secret. You can't fight your flesh on your own. You'll lose. Your only hope of victory over your flesh is the Spirit of God living inside of you. So baseline question, give me your face if you will please. Have you ever given your life to Christ? Have you surrendered control and said, Lord Jesus, I cannot do this. You've got to take my life and you just remake me as a person. Make me a new creation. To repent and believe the good news. To repent. You're headed the wrong direction, your own direction. And when you repent, it is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. It's like God Himself draws you and you turn to Him and follow Jesus. You're like, that's the baseline right there. And when you do that, God's Holy Spirit, listen, comes to live in your body. I'm not talking figuratively. Oh, God was with him. No. According to Romans 8, 9, and 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 through 21, and several other places, it says that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I was in Uganda last year, sitting with a young man who was Muslim who had surrendered to Christ. He was our driver, and we stopped to get something to eat. And he had given his life to Christ. Truly, man, this dude loves Jesus. And we're sitting there eating. And I was talking to him about the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, three in one, not three gods, not three gods, but one God in three persons. And I'm sitting here talking to him about that. And I said, isn't it cool that the Holy Spirit lives in us? And he said, what? I said, bro, did you not know this? He goes, no. I said, when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. He is like, wow. I'm like, yeah, wow. That's pretty cool. He didn't know that. He had not been discipled to that point. And I was like, I got to tell him at that stop that the Spirit of God dwells in him. Man, that's your only hope. So when you get Jesus, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you get eternal relationship with the whole Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you're fighting the flesh, what I'm about to give you right here, this passage of Scripture is revolutionary. It's Romans 8, 12 through 17. Man, you need to get this one down. This is how we fight. Look at this, Romans 8, 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But, underline this in your Bible, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. So set this in your mindset. Go back to verse 12, if you will. Do you see this? You are not obligated to live according to the flesh. You are no longer a slave to sin. In other words, you don't have to sin. We choose to sin as a believer. We've been set free. Just imagine you're in prison and the door is open and you go out, you're free. Oh, it feels so good. We choose to sin, we go back in, shut the door. Because this is our safe place where we are familiar with our flesh. The door's not locked. Not obligated to the flesh. You're not obligated to sin. Wow. How do you fight your flesh? Look at verse 13. Because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. When you put something to death, you got to kill it. You can't just be like, hey, I'm going to just kind of take a little break from this. John Owen lived in the 1600s, and he wrote a book. I believe the book was called The Mortification of Sin. And in this book, he takes this verse by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh, and he writes a whole book about how to kill sin. And here's his statement. You be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. You do that 1,000 times a day. You kill it 1,000 times a day. When that thought pops in your head, that's the moment to deal with it. 1,000 times a day, kill the sin by the Spirit. Not by you trying harder. By the Spirit. Verse 15, I love this right here. Verse 14, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's son. We let him lead us, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is a very intimate term for God. It's daddy. It's family. And so in verse 15 through 17, John Piper pointed this out, and I love this. He says this, the Spirit does not lead by stirring up slavish fear. He leads by stirring up family affection. He does not get you to kill sin by making you a slave who acts out of fear, but by making you a son who acts out of faith and affection. What a difference. You see, listen, we don't kill sin to try to check mark that we did the Ten Commandments. Oh man, I nailed it again today. Well, I was 7 for 10, but hey, you know what? There's a fear of, oh my goodness, I didn't measure up today. I can't measure up. No, no, no. That's not the spirit that you've been given. That's a spirit of fear, of slavery. You've been given the spirit of adoption, where when you sin, oh, Father, I love you so much, I want to hate my sin. I got a young man right now I'm walking with. He called me. He's like, man, he said, I fell into it again. He said, I've fallen deeper. He's on break right now. You know, whenever you're bored and you have time, you tend to fall into stuff. Oh, that's a whole nother subject. But he's telling me this. He's like, John, I didn't want to do it. I went straight back into it. You know, and he's telling me and several other men, hey, man, y'all pray for me. You got to stand strong. He goes back 5 minutes. Boom. Flat on his face, back into the mess. And I said, my friend, I'm praying God gives you a hatred for your sin, that you will hate that sin. See, because he's cherishing that sin. He's pulled himself back in the cage, and it's just like, oh, it's my safe spot. My familiar flesh. And I'm like, bro, you got to kill it. You got to kill it 1,000 times a day. Amen. He texts me back, thank you. It's like, yeah. It's like, man, that's a hard word, bro, but that's where we got to live. Turn to Galatians 5:16-26. This is another one, man. You want to get this one down. You want to get this passage of Scripture locked in the hard drive, all right? Galatians 5:16-26. Now listen, more strategy on how to deal with your flesh. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. It's in battle. Your fleshly desires are battling with the Spirit of God who dwells in you. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I love the anything similar. It just catches everything else that's sinful. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thank God for verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Let's say them out loud together. Love, joy. Hold it. Y'all ain't all in. Let's go again. You ready? love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Look at this. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I want to illustrate this, keeping in step with the Spirit. Can I get my volunteers to come up here for me, please? Thank you. This is a picture of keeping in step with the Spirit. All right, you ready for this? All right. You know, sometimes it's that awkward. It's whenever the Holy Spirit of God is, when you're staying in step with Him, just going throughout a normal day. He's like, I need you to pray for this person. And they just pop in your head. You ever have somebody just pop in your head? Maybe that's an invitation from the Holy Spirit to pray for that person. You have to learn how to stay in step with the Spirit. Where it's like, you know what, Lord, I want to know you. I want to read the Word. So reading the Word is part of it. It's like when you get away from the Word and you're walking into your life, you're at your job, you're wherever, and something is irritating you, and the Holy Spirit is just whispering to you, be gentle right here. And you're like, you don't even understand, Lord, what this guy's doing. You know? I had a guy call me the other night, and he was in the process of doing something really dumb. And he called me and said, John, I am about to do this thing. And I said, bro, he said, I knew I had to call you and just tell you, so you pray for me that I wouldn't do this thing. And I almost said his name. I said, bro, this is walking in the Spirit. This is you responding to the voice of God telling you, don't do this. Call somebody who loves you and tell them. Y'all understand what I'm telling you right now? I said, this is messy. He said, it is messy. He said, I'm glad you're telling me this. I said, yeah, this is a picture of walking in the Spirit. And just like whenever the Spirit tells you to do something, just like Sharon had Sydney and those girls over here, it's like you obey Him and you're not thinking, well, how am I going to look? No, you're just going to obey the Spirit. You're going to avoid the flesh and do with the Spirit. Because, man, He is setting up stuff all around you. There are people that need to hear the gospel. And when you're all down in your sin and in your flesh, you're not looking up and going, who around me needs help? Who needs the gospel? You're thinking about yourself, your flesh. The Spirit's like, hey, come on over here. I got this assignment over here. Tanya needs a Bible. Romans 6, 11 and 12. So you two consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. I'm not going to read the rest of that, but all of Romans 6 is good. Considering yourself dead to sin. Romans 8, you're not obligated to the flesh. Romans 6, you consider yourselves dead to sin. So I talk to my friend Ross every Sunday morning at 7:45 as he's driving up to his church in Grapevine, Texas. And I said, Ross, I'm preaching on the flesh this morning. What's your battle plan against the flesh? He said, okay, I'll tell you. He said, every morning, I pray John Owen's prayer. Lord, kill the sin in me. Because I don't want to be killed by sin today. He said, I list and pray against any of the works of the flesh that I'm struggling with, those that we read earlier in Galatians 5. He said, I list the ones that come after me. And he gave me the list. He said, and I quote every morning Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then he said, I asked the Lord to help me live out the fruit of the Spirit during the day. He said something like that about the fruit of the Spirit that I want to, that this is the positive part. Lord, let your fruit be evident in my life. And he said, finally, I keep short accounts of sin, repenting often. So I'm wrapping this up right now. What is our strategy to fight against the flesh? Here you go. If you've not already done so, turn your life over to Jesus. You have no hope of winning against your flesh without God. So your first move is to respond to the gospel where you surrender your life to Jesus. And when you do, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you. That's when you can start fighting. But you gotta join the family first. Second, kill sin daily by the Spirit. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Keep in step with the Spirit, aware of what your mindset is, what you're thinking about when you wake up in the morning. What is in your brain? What are you thinking about? That's setting a course for your day. Let the Word of God set that course. Be aware of what your mindset is. And y'all, when my mind starts drifting into sinful stuff, and I catch it, I'm like, I'll say this out loud. I'll say, no, in the name of Jesus. This has no right and no authority over my head right now. I mean, you got to be proactive killing that stuff. It's coming for you. Third, time alone with the Lord daily, renewing your mind with His Word, the Bible. Memorize scripture that will remind you in the moment of temptation of what to do. Here's some good ones. 2 Timothy 2:22. This is God's running shoes right here. Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Corinthians 10:12 through 13, underline these in your Bible. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. And then Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And finally, actively avoid places of temptation. Actively avoid them. If you got an Apple phone, get your phone out and look at the back of it. Just get it out right now. Look at the back of it. There's a picture on it. What's the picture of? Just an apple? What's up with the apple with the bite out of it? What's that telling me? Where does a lot of our sin play out, ladies and gentlemen? How much time are you spending on your phone? Where is it taking you? Is it causing you to love Jesus more or is it causing you to want your flesh more? You know, you got to get radical with stuff. You got to avoid it. Man, I've been meditating on these scriptures this week, and one just kept going through my head. I'm not going to read it. If you get a chance, read Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 27. Tells the story. He says, I looked out the lattice of my house, and I saw a young man that lacked discernment. And he was crossing the street and heading to the corner of the immoral woman. Just walking by. Just going down the street. If you saw him, you and had no knowledge. You just, hey, he's just walking down the street. What? He's just nothing. So she catches him. She pulls him in the house. Says, come on, my husband's gone. That's how temptation is. And y'all, people can look at us and you can think, well, man, there's no, that person's walking in the spirit. And I can hide my flesh from you and you not even knowing what's happening. You got to be real. Avoid those places. Now listen, did a place pop in your head? Did your phone pop in your head? Stay guarded. Don't let down your guard. Don't be like, I got it whooped. No, you don't. Just stay away from it. Whatever you have to do, let's pray. So what about you? Are you in the fight? Have you ever joined the family and received the spirit of adoption? Have you ever surrendered to Christ? If you've not surrendered to Christ, there's going to be about four people standing up in the back, two men and two ladies. If you want to settle that, you can go back there right now and just talk to them. Say, hey, I want to know what this is. I need Jesus. I've experienced religion. I've heard about this. I've just been kind of whatever. But man, it's like, I need to nail this down today. Because I'm not fighting. I'm just dead. Second group of people in here, if you're a believer in Jesus, and you have just been acting like you're dead. You've put yourself back in the cage. And you're just like, I'm just wallowing in my... Just pray with somebody this morning, man. We love you. You are loved here. Man, freedom is waiting on you. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't stay in your flesh, in your hiddenness. Come on out of it, repent, turn back to the Lord. Let Him heal your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking for your help. We cannot fight alone, Lord. We need you. So God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, for every single person in this room and those that are listening, Lord, that you would capture our hearts, that you would teach us how to fight. And Lord, for those that don't know you, that they would just come to know you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.